Thank you, friends, so much for joining us for today's call. This is our 12th Fireside Chat. You know, when we started this a few months ago, we felt it was so important to bring America's leading animal advocates and supporters together on a regular basis to discuss how we can help the most vulnerable among us in times of crisis, especially during the coronavirus pandemic. Today, friends, we have two special guests with us. The first is dedicated to protecting animals across the country, and the second has been dedicated to protecting our country itself. I want to welcome now someone who I've known for years and I feel really represents the heart and soul of what American Humane has been about for over 143 years. My good friend Amber Battinger is here with us today. Amber has worked with the American Humane Rescue Team for nearly 5 years as a disaster and cruelty response and outreach specialist. She's been part of a program that has helped save, shelter, care for, and feed millions of animals in the worst natural catastrophes and most heart-rending situations you can ever imagine. And yet, through it all, friends, Amber has stayed so positive, determined to continue doing more and more for animals than any other program of its kind in this country. Because of what Amber does, our rescue team is really just the best. Amber is a vet tech. She has extensive experience in animal sheltering and is certified in animal crime scene forensics, water rescue, small and large animal technical rescue, and small and large animal emergency first aid. On top of all that, she's an experienced equine handler and has 4 rescue dogs of her own. In fact, she was the one that inspired so many across our country to adopt a pandemic pet at the beginning of the coronavirus outbreak. Amber, welcome to our Fireside Chat. I'm so glad you're our special guest today.
Thank you so much, Robin. It is such an honor to be here. I appreciate your introduction.
Oh, well, you are a superstar in the rescue space. Yeah, and you're a superstar at American Humane. We're so honored that you are spending your time and talent making such a difference for the lives of so many animals through the American Humane platform. You are really one of the humane heroes at American Humane. We're so proud to know you. And I'm so proud of all the incredible work you've done, boots on the ground to save animals. And friends, if you've seen any of our rescue photos over the years, you've seen Amber in action. And Amber, boy, have you done some dramatic and amazing rescues. One of the most dramatic things is to go into the scene of massive natural disasters, where I know, Amber, you have saved lost, frightened, and hungry animals left behind in the rubble and often in the floodwaters. Friends, one of the most challenging situations Amber and our team had to deal with happened in September 2019 when the most powerful hurricane ever to strike the Bahamas swept through the island chain with winds of over 185 miles per hour. Hurricane Dorian splintered homes, buildings, boats, trees, and sadly, the lives of people and animals. On Great Abaco Island, Hurricane Dorian destroyed or swept almost everything in its path out to sea. All told, friends, and many of us have forgotten, it's gone out of the news cycle, unfortunately, but people need to remember Hurricane Dorian left more than 70,000 people and tens of thousands animals homeless and caused more than $7 billion in damage. Afterward, the pictures of Great Abaco Island looked more like a nuclear bomb site than a tropical island paradise. But Amber and our team went in first to serve. Amber, can you share with us about what it was like arriving on the scene in the Bahamas and what your first objectives were?
Yes, absolutely. And like you said, Robin, we've seen the photos, we see the news footage, but nothing can really prepare you for what we actually saw when we got on the ground there. The rescue team, we've seen our share of devastation. We've been to countless natural disasters, so we've seen it all. But I have to say, this was the worst we've ever seen. My first experience flying in over Abaco Islands I just couldn't even comprehend the devastation. And once we landed and got on the ground, it was very I use the word apocalyptic a lot when I describe the scene there, because there's really no other word to describe it. It was eerily quiet. It was, you know, pretty empty and just complete decimation as far as the eye could see. And it was honestly astounding that anything could survive a storm like this. I mean, nothing was standing. But the animals of the Bahamas are resilient. All animals are resilient, but these animals are especially strong and brave and resilient. So our first objectives there were to set up a temporary shelter. There weren't really any buildings standing, so we needed an area where we could house these animals temporarily. After we set that up, we put in some pretty extensive search and rescue efforts. Our team searched around the clock through all of the rubble and debris to bring animals back to the temporary shelter to provide them with medical care, food, water. Many of them had gone quite some time without food or water. A lot of them had injuries from debris and, you know, just a multitude of, you know, issues with these animals. So we searched through the rubble. We would bring them back to our shelter. We would stabilize them, get them healthy and ready to go, and then we would transport them via small plane over to the island of Nassau, where they could be eventually reunited, hopefully with their families, or eventually put up for adoption. So that was our first initiative there, was really to just get any needy animal that needed emergency care over to our facility so they were no longer struggling out there amidst the debris and the rubble. We also set up feeding stations for about 300 community animals throughout Abaco. So we would pinpoint specific areas that a lot of community animals lived, and we would set up these feeding stations that were, you know, restocked several times per day to make sure no animal on the island was hungry. And we also set up distribution areas for community members so they could come get pet food and supplies. One of the really rewarding things was forming bonds with a lot of the community members. It was really rewarding to play a small role in their healing process as they have dealt with so much, and just to be able to provide a little bit of relief was really, really astounding for the rescue team. So we were pretty honored to play that role. So that was really our role. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you, you know, I remember when you first got boots on the ground there, you and your colleagues from American Humane Rescue, you were there and you sent me a photo of where you were staying. And I think it's really important for our supporters who of this work to understand what kind of conditions you were in the devastated Great Abaco Island. Where did you house yourself, were you and your colleagues? Because I'd love for you to describe that visual to our listeners today. It was stunning to me and shocking. Please.
So we were there a little over 3 weeks, and we stayed in a house that had been pretty much, it was still standing, it still had walls, but there was a lot of infrastructure damage. There were parts of the house where you could see the sky. Obviously, there was no running water, no electricity, minimal food, but the house itself was very damaged. There was insulation falling down. There was debris everywhere, lots of dust. I had to wear a mask for a few days because the insulation was, you know, just really affecting me. My colleague Josh actually slept in a hammock outside, kind of on the balcony area there. So it was definitely, you know, like camping, but rougher. But we were
rougher
grateful
than
to
camping.
We were grateful to the owner of the home for letting us stay there. But, you know, it was definitely very rough living conditions there.
Unbelievable. I remember the photo of you showing me your roof, and there was no roof where you were sleeping, and it was shocking and stunning. But you really did put yourself in harm's way to help the animals of the Bahamas. I remember one story, and I think this story was picked up around news stations around our country, about a dog named Hope that really stuck with me. Can you tell us about Hope, that precious dog?
Sure. So Hope was found laying on an old mattress in front of where her home once stood. So it's just a stunning picture of this poor dog laying on a mattress, and behind her is just a completely flattened home. And honestly, weren't even sure if she was alive when she was found. She was very elderly, dehydrated, hadn't eaten in a while. So we scooped her up and brought her back to our shelter and provided her with some fluids, some veterinary care, some food and some water. And Hope wouldn't, she really averted eye contact a lot. You know, we originally had brought her in and she was very nervous and didn't trust us very much. So it took a while, but one of the most profound moments of my time there was I had taken her out for a walk, and I sat there with her, and she just looked at me. I began to pet her, and she took a step toward me and put her head in my hands and just looked at me, and, you know, her eyes had completely changed and softened, and she, you know, knew she was safe, and we were there to love her, and after that, she was a different dog, so that was a really emotional moment for me to see a change in a dog like that that had experienced so much. So that really kind of wrapped up the whole experience and made it all so worthwhile.
I keep a photo of Hope on my desk here. And every day I'm in the office, I see Hope and see that dog in her eyes. And it just reminds me of the importance of our rescue mission every single day. And, of course, Amber, you and I know, and many of our listeners know, that American Humane is our country's very first animal rescue group, founded on the battlefields of World War I, where we were deployed by the U.S. Secretary of War to rescue and care for cavalry horses in trench warfare. So our colleagues that founded this program over 100 years ago understand the kind of conditions that our responders, our first responders for animals, go into every day. And I'm so proud of your work in the Bahamas and that of your colleagues. And I know you saved Hope's life and so many other animals. There is, friends, a really impactful photo book of Amber and her colleagues' work in the Bahamas. If you want to see these photos, email me at robing@americanhumane.org, and we will make sure to get a copy of this photo book to you because it's that impactful. Amber, I'm so glad you were there taking care and rescuing Hope and so many of the other animals whose lives you touched. And I know you do. That story is repeated each and every year hundreds of times. And I believe we deployed the Bahamas not once but twice following Hurricane Dorian. Amber, can you tell us some more of Mission 2 and 3 for the Bahamas, of what we did in terms of the incredible work post-initial rescue?
Yeah, absolutely. So once we returned stateside, we continued supporting our relief efforts. So we still had a lot of partners on Abaco that we formed relationships with while we were there. And we coordinated around the clock with those partners to continue to support our feeding stations and supply the community with pet food and supplies. And we also continued to support ongoing veterinary efforts there. We had a relationship with a Bahamian veterinarian, and we continued to support him to help the community by continuing to provide veterinary care for the animals of Abaco. We also provided a grant to the Abaco Shelter, which is the only animal shelter on the island and is completely volunteer-based. And that shelter was completely flattened due to the storm, and we provided them with a grant to help rebuild their infrastructure. And they're continuing that rebuilding process, but they are doing a great job, and they really hope to continue to support their efforts there and sheltering. So it was great that American Humane was able to help with that role as well.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I know the partnership with the local veterinarian was extremely rewarding for everyone. And I understand the stories were that he himself had lost personal family members and his practice was destroyed by Hurricane Dorian. And his heart was just so huge because he went out to help provide medical care in times of need despite his own personal tragedy and loss, that he is a humane hero as well. And we certainly salute him today for his efforts. Amber, you and I, we talk about this all the time. The forecasters at NOAA have predicted a busier than usual storm season with between 13 to 19 named storms, of which up to 10 could become hurricanes, with possibly 6 of those being major ones. And friends, for comparison, it's usually 6 becoming hurricanes, three major ones. So we're looking at a double trouble season for sure for this storm season. The conditions are right for double trouble, and it makes us all in animal first response world very, very nervous about the unpredictability of the current storm season. Amber, I know you're an expert in helping people prepare for storms. Can you give us some tips on what we should do and what we shouldn't do?
Yeah, absolutely. So the very first thing is obviously to prepare beforehand. As we know, things get very chaotic during storms and before storms, and a lot of resources may be sold out, not readily available. And you just want to have a plan in place before you have to actually act out that plan. First and foremost, always take your pet with you if you need to evacuate. Never leave your pet behind. Pets are family, so if the family has to evacuate, take the whole family with you, including your pet. It's also extremely important to have your pet microchipped and that information is up to date. We can't say that enough. One of the first things we do when we find a pet is to scan he or she for a microchip. And also it's very important to have a crop with an ID on it, but those can fall off or, become removed. So the microchip really is the most important thing, but obviously, keep the collar with the tag up to date as well, just so you have, a double way to reunited with your pet. It's very important to plan in advance a safe place you can go if you do need to evacuate or seek shelter. So speaking with your family and your friends beforehand, making sure there could be a boarding facility that would accommodate your pets, and also map out pet-friendly hotels. Plan your routes in advance and make sure you have multiple routes in case one is closed or you're diverted a different direction. And just make sure that evacuation is really solid before a disaster strikes so you're not having to, Google map where you can take your pet during, a Category 5 storm. Another really important thing is having a pet go kit or disaster kit. And that includes, a pet first aid kit. We would recommend pet food for 7 to 10 days, any medications your pet may take, any pertinent vet records, toys, bowls. A photo of your pet is important in case you need to proof of ownership or anything like that, and a pet carrier. And we also like to stress to make sure your pet is comfortable in the carrier, so practice. When there's not a time of disaster, taking your pet in and out of the carrier, proper loading procedures, and making sure that's not another stressful thing that you need to deal with during a disaster. If you do choose to stay during the storm, just make sure you're choosing a safe room for riding out the storm, an interior room without windows, and make sure you take your entire family, including your pets, and take your go kit for your pet with you. Make sure all exits and doors are closed. We're especially worried about cats. They're so good at escaping through any avenue. So just make sure every little nook and cranny is secured. And make sure you're aware of your pet's hiding places in case you do need to evacuate quickly. Another thing we like to keep in mind is that hurricanes and any natural disaster are extremely stressful for our pets. So their behavior may change during or after. They may not act like your normal pet. They may become defensive or aggressive. So just be patient with them. Be sensitive to those changes. Give them comfort and love and a quiet environment. And just be flexible with them. It's a stressful time for everyone.
Oh, Amber, that is so, so wonderful. Those tips are incredible. I feel safer already and reminds me of a few things I need to do to button up for this storm season. And friends, storm season, particularly for those in the paths of possible evacuations, is even more challenging this year because of COVID and the pandemic. So please do stay abreast of your local disaster response resources, your community's resources, and make sure that we're all prepared to evacuate at a moment's notice and be sure to take our pets with us with our incredible disaster prep safety kit. And that's really going to help keep our families together in these challenging times. These tips do save lives, and they're available on our website, AmericanHumane.org. Amber, I'm so proud to know you, so proud to work with you. Thank you so much for helping us all be better prepared and for giving us an insider's look at the life-saving work American Humane does and has done for more than 100 years. I'm so grateful for you. You're one of our humane heroes, and I'm just grateful for all the animals that you impact. You're just a blessing to us all. Thank you, Amber.
Thank you.
Well, stay with us, Amber. We might get a rescue question as we continue our fireside chat today, so please stay on the call. And, friends, Amber will be available for some questions in just a few minutes. But as I promised, our 12th fireside chat has a very special second guest who served our country. I'd like to turn the subject to another program that American Humane has been proudly involved with for more than 100 years, protecting those who protect our country by helping our active military veterans and military animals. One of those programs, one of my favorites, called Pups for Patriots, identifies animals in need of forever loving homes, trains, and pairs them with veterans coping with these invisible wounds of war. To talk about the impact this program has, I've invited one of our veteran graduates to tell us about his service dog. Chris is a U.S. Air Force veteran who served our country as a senior airman, and through the Pups for Patriots program was paired with Andy, a female lab mastiff mix. Chris, welcome to our fireside chat. I wonder if you'll be able to share with us a little bit about how you came to get Andy and what kind of things she does to help.
Absolutely. First, I'd like to thank you, Robin, and the American Humane Pups for Patriots program. I honestly can say I'm not sure if I would have even survived this COVID thing without her. She has been an absolute godsend. For that, I thank you so very much. I was injured in Saudi Arabia in 97. I hit my head and misdiagnosed, and I had a brain bleed. Developed epilepsy and migraines, and so they medically retired me due to a traumatic brain injury. And what Andy does for me is I suffer from major migraines and depression, anxiety, and she will notify me. She'll whine and bring me down to her level, and she'll lick the back of my head, which, crazy enough, is exactly where the brain damage is. She'll lick that spot to let me know, hey, something's going on. You need to get your migraine medication or get a shot. I have sumatriptan injections that I give myself when she does this. And honestly, I'm not sure if I would have made it through this COVID thing without her. So.
Well, just you saying that just makes me teary-eyed, Chris. It just gives me goosebumps to think about how timely it was that Andy came into your life. None of us could have ever predicted COVID-19, and we knew it was hard to just every day, right, pre-COVID, every day. It was challenging, I'm sure, with the traumatic brain injury. Especially interesting that Andy knows where to lick, right? Fascinating, the power of dogs. But I know this enforced isolation of the COVID-19 pandemic, it affects me. It affects everyone. It must be. Tell me a story about how you and Andy are coping with these extraordinary and challenging times. I'd love to know what specifically Andy's doing for you every day.
Yeah. Well, I'm a single guy, so I'm home a lot, but I don't cook at home a lot because it's just me. Mm-hmm. And so pre-COVID, her and I were constantly at restaurants, out and about. And when the COVID hit, that just stopped. And she could tell something was wrong. So we've been eating at home more often. I know that's a big change for her. We do take random rides around in the car. She absolutely loves that part of it. But she's always, you can always tell that concern of, well, we went somewhere, but we didn't go anywhere, you know?
Right.
So, but we get home, and she understand that veterans have a really difficult time sitting at home alone. And through this time, there's so many veterans out there that are struggling. And what she does is she'll understand that I'm struggling, and she'll bring me her toy. She'll bring me her tennis ball. She'll whine. She'll paw at the back door. She'll say, come on, let's go. Let's go out back. Let's go play. And so she keeps me up. When she understands that I'm feeling down, she immediately jumps, and she's like, nope, we're not doing this. We're getting outside. Let's play ball. Let's get busy. I have taken up golfing a lot more during the COVID. That's a great place to be, out in the open air, and she is the best caddy anybody could ever ask for. it doesn't matter how bad of a shot I hit. When I get back to that cart, I know I'm going to get licks and love, and she doesn't care. She just loves to be out there. She loves meeting new people. And she's just amazing, absolutely amazing. The heart that she has, the drive that she has to care for me is just, you can't find that. And the Pups for Patriots project, what y'all are doing is just absolutely amazing and life-changing for vets like myself. So I appreciate everything that you guys do, Robin.
Oh, well, Chris, thank you. And we do it because, quite frankly, you're a hero. You've served our country with honor, courage, bravery, and the least we can do is to honor you by offering that unconditional love at the other end of the leash. And what I love about this magical program that is Pups for Patriots is, you know, we have an incredible opportunity to honor your service. We also have a unique opportunity to save an animal's life by rescuing them from shelters where these animals may be euthanized. I think this is such a tremendous win-win-win, and I'm so glad that Andy found you and you have Andy in these times. I have to ask, so she's a caddy, huh? So is she giving you some advice on which club to use?
No, she doesn't. A lot of people are asking me, why don't you train her to go get golf balls in the woods and so forth? I'm like, no, I'm not telling her that, because then she'll be chasing my balls in the woods all the time. And when I hit those balls in the woods, I'd rather them just stay there. I don't want to hit them again.
I don't blame you. That's an unlucky ball. So it needs to stay out in the woods. Well, where I play golf, it usually goes right into the water or in some sort of, you know, area where there might be alligators. So I definitely don't want to go have a dog chase after my balls. That's for sure.
Off
the fairway for sure. Oh, Chris, you sound so wonderful, Chris. And I'm so glad that Andy's made such a difference in your life in this incredibly challenging time. And, you know, we started these fireside chats. We're in our 12th one today, Chris, if you can believe it. And we thought we'd be doing this for a month, maybe two. And here we are months later, still providing a fireside chat opportunity to share with what our incredible supporters what we're doing to help impact lives in the time of the pandemic. And hearing your story just warms my heart, and I know it does for our many supporters and champions who really have supported this effort since its very beginning. Chris, I'm so proud to tell you that yesterday we had another class graduate. Yes, in North Carolina, we've had another successful class of veterans paired with service dogs, and I know that you'll be very proud to know that that was a grand success, and I'm sure we're going to be hearing from several of them in the weeks and months ahead about the differences their new service dog makes in their life. Chris, I can't thank you enough for all you've done for our country, and I also want to give thanks for trained service dogs like Andy, who do so much to serve our brave veterans. Thank you both. What a great team, friends, Chris and Andy. Chris, please be safe for sure. And, Chris, stay with us. We might have a few questions as we continue our fireside chat for you. Will you stay on the call?
Absolutely. Thank you again, Robin, for everything.
Oh, absolutely. And friends, I've got incredible news. I'm so excited about this. I want to give you an advanced sneak peek at some incredible new initiative. I know many of us are now trying to be outdoors walking, getting exercise, running, trying to stay so healthy right now. And we thought there was no better time than to launch our inaugural Pups for Patriots 5K. This is an opportunity to show your support, to create virtual teams of your friends and family members to walk or run, and to raise funds to help support a qualified service dog for a veteran in need. The virtual run is going to take place from August 31st to September 7th over the Labor Day week. Help fund American Humane's Life-Saving Pups for Patriots program. You can complete the 5K at your own pace anytime during that week. Registration is absolutely free. The first 100 people to sign up are going to receive an American Humane leash. There's also going to be lots of other goodies as you and your teams raise money for Pups for Patriots. And again, it's runners, it's walkers, it's all virtual, so you can do it at your own community, your own hometown, your own street, your own running track, wherever you can get out and enjoy fresh air as we wrap up summer. You can do that and raise money for this very important cause. So I hope you'll join forces with American Humane, earn a leash, or earn some of the other incredibly exciting goodies that we have. And again, friends, know that we just graduated a class this week. I'm so happy that we've continued that very important work, and American Humane is committed to putting more healing leashes into the hands of veterans in need, and you can help us and get a much needed break outdoors as well. So look out for an email announcing more details about our Pups for Patriots 5K. There are just some ways that you can help us by participating, and many more ways, too. We are making a big difference during this pandemic, including our really exciting Feed the Hungry program led by our national spokesperson, Jean Shapiroff. A special thanks to Jean. Her incredible efforts are allowing us to feed well over 500,000 animals in this pandemic. Incredible amount of emergency grants to help support our rescues and shelter groups around our country. So very special thanks to Jean and our efforts for Feed the Hungry. Friends, we are still looking at many more communities being impacted by the pandemic. If you can help and make a donation, we'd be so grateful. And that money will go right into grants to local shelters and rescue groups. Friends, our campaigns, our newsletters, our new annual impact report are all on our website, and they can help recruit new support to our cause, which is more important now than ever before. So please do utilize those resources at AmericanHumane.org. Well, believe it or not, we're ending our July fireside chat, getting ready to open it up for questions. We look forward to talking with all of you at our next fireside chat in August with more updates soon about our virtual 5K. And friends, we'll keep these very important fireside chats on a monthly basis so we can all stay connected as a community of action to help build a humane world. As we always say in our fireside chats, please stay safe, please stay healthy, and now I'd like to open it up to questions for our incredible listeners today. Dan, back to you. See if we have any questions from our listeners.
Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, you may submit a question by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad now. I ask that you please ensure your phone is unmuted locally so that I may retrieve your name and announce your question to the call. Again, that is star 1 if you wish to ask a question now. And we do have a caller on the line. Please stand by a moment while I gather the caller's details.
Perfect. While we wait for our caller to join us, remember, friends, tips for keeping our pets safe before, during, and after a storm are available on AmericanHumane.org, because hurricane season is here, friends. It's definitely here, and we all want to be safe. And again, this season of storms promises to be double trouble, and we want to make sure we're prepared and safe. Dan, do we have our caller ready?
We do. The first question is going to come from Barbara Niven. Barbara, when you are ready, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, Robin. Oh, my gosh. Thanks again for such an inspirational, fabulous experience during this COVID time that we're all going through. We're just hungry for this kind of good news that you and American Humane provide.
Thank you, Barbara. We love you, and we hope you're safe in Los Angeles. My prayers for you, another epicenter, right?
it's another epicenter and we're going backwards again. But, you know, as your hero Dan was talking about with Andy, it helps so much to have our pets around us, our animals. I've got three dogs here and two cats, and they don't let me sink too low either. It's just, we're just so fortunate. And I just want to do such a shout out and a thank you to the two heroes that you have on your show today. Dan, my gosh, thank you for your service and for sharing what Andy has done for you, and hopefully it will inspire others to help donate and so that we can make more of these Pups for Patriots available. And then I have one more remark too. Amber, I don't know if you remember me, but you are, you touched my
heart. Of course
I do. Hi. I miss you. When you get to LA, I would love to see you again. I was so honored to be able to go on my one and only deployment so far for American Humane, where we were able to go in and help rescue puppy mill dogs. I think there were about 250 dogs, and I didn't know much what I was doing, so I was just helping the best I can, but I was able to observe Amber and your team. Every single dog that came through got such incredible care, but not only just veterinary care. Amber, I watched you. Every single dog that you touched, you took that time to get the emotional connection and start rebuilding that dog's spirit as well. And when I think hero, that you're just one of them at the top of my list. And you've inspired me so much. And I just want to say thank you for what you do. And I hope to get to go on another deployment with you one of these days.
Oh, you're getting me choked up. Thank you so much, Barbara. You are an incredible member of the team and a wonderful asset. And can't say enough about you. So thank you for all that you do.
And you always looked good. We were all kind of about you. And you always came up with your eye makeup on. I don't know how you did it, but you are my hero, girl.
Amber is the glamorous rescuer, that's for sure. Absolutely. You'll see her in the floodwaters, and she looks wonderful. And I'm thinking, how does she do that? She's wonderful.
Carrying a dog out of those floodwaters. I've watched those pictures. I've seen those. I saw the book. That literally going in with white water rushing by. And Amber is very slight. I mean, she's gorgeous. She's very slight, though. And she is going in there, and she's carrying out dogs that look like they're twice her size. And I don't know how you do it, but you do it when you're a hero. You just do what you need to do. And then you can cry later or whatever, but as American Humane does, they do what they need to do, and they're the first responders to every disaster. And I'm just so proud of you guys.
Oh, Barbara, thank you so much. Please stay safe and be healthy and stay well. And
you
we
too.
Look forward to seeing you at our Hero Dog Awards. A big hug to you.
We'll see. Oh, and I'm going to put a team on for a virtual team. What a great idea for the 5K. So I'm going to do that. So, yay.
Yes.
So I'm going to sign up right after this. So thanks. Great
idea. I love it. Thank you, Barbara. That's
bye,
great.
Guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Like operator, I think we have another question today.
That's right. Yeah, the next caller we'll hear from is Lori Wells. Lori, when you are ready, please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Lori. Welcome.
Hey, it's Lori Wells and Piglet, actually.
Oh, yeah, Piglet. How's Piglet doing? We love Piglet.
She is doing fabulous. I just wanted to check in. I love listening to your fireside chats, and I just wanted to let you know that
we're
alive and well in Los Angeles.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness, Lori. It's scary times, another epicenter. I'm in another epicenter in Florida here, and every day we wake up to just the worst of the worst news, and it's really hard to get that spirit of positivity going. And I want you to know, Lori, what makes me so happy every morning is to get up and to think about the hero dogs. And, you know, we're just in the middle of this campaign. The voting has been incredibly strong and robust, and Hallmark is so thrilled to put it on air. It'll be different this year because we'll be filming socially distanced, of course. But it's going to be just an opportunity for all of us to gather around the television with our families and friends in October to watch some incredible stories. And friends, piglet story is amazing. Lori, will you give us an overview of Piglet and her story for those folks who are trying to remember Piglet?
Well, Little Piglet won, she's the current title holder for Search and Rescue for the 2019
yes.
Hero Dog Awards, and she is specifically a human remains detection dog. She spent some time up with the Paradise fires last year in California, and we actually just recently spent 3 days on Lake Piru. I don't know if you heard about the actress from Glee that drowned. So we were out there giving the answers, and Piglet's just happy to do it, and she's sitting here wagging her tail and smiling. She knows I'm talking about her. But
Piglet does bring closure to so many families and in their worst time. Piglet is a true hero dog and incredible talent and training, Lori, and it goes. A credit goes to you, and thank you for what you're doing, because those have been very hard days in Los Angeles for the family and friends of the beautiful Glee actress who lost her life on the lake.
Yes, it's been emotional, and the family and friends were actually able to love up on Piglet a little bit, so that was wonderful, and that always helps, you know. They were very appreciative of all the efforts. There were so many people out there helping. And at least they did get their answer. And it's just tough. It's tough, but it's so important. Definitely, these answers are what families need. So I'm just a small piece of that puzzle, but we're happy to be here and doing it.
Lori, tell us, give our hero dogs who are in competition now some advice from Piglet, because I do know it went to Piglet's head, right, B, the search and rescue dog of the year, the big TV debut, walking the red carpet. What would Piglet say to the competition this year, dog to dog, hero dog to potential hero dog?
Dog to dog, take it all in. It is such an amazing experience. Everyone involved at the Hero Dog Awards could not have been more wonderful to all of us. And it was an experience that we will never forget, treasure forever. And what an amazing family. And you all will remain a family. It's incredible. All of my fellow 2019 category winners are in touch almost weekly. It's beautiful.
Oh. That's wonderful, and that kind of community in these times of social distancing, isolation, quarantining is so important. So I'm so glad to know that everyone's still in touch. That's just wonderful.
Yes.
I'm so glad Piglet's doing well, Lori. Thank you.
I just wanted to check in and say hi, and thanks again for doing these chats.
Oh, thank you, Lori, for being part of this one. We need to do a chat just devoted to hero dogs, and maybe we'll do that in August. That would be a fun way to kick off the fall.
Oh,
so we'll work on that.
Absolutely.
That would be great. So stay tuned.
Absolutely, yes, please. Thanks, and have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you so much. Well, are there any more questions or comments that we have from our listeners today?
I haven't got any other callers in the queue just yet, but perhaps I'll give another reminder here. Ladies and gentlemen, you can submit for a question or a contribution by pressing *1, and we'll allow a few more moments to see if anyone wants to get one in. Again, that is *1.
And friends, while we're waiting for anyone else to ask a question or provide a comment, do remember to visit herodogawards.org to place a vote for your favorite hero dog. And again, these stories of a hometown compassion and love, just amazing. I think we have another question. Question 3, did we have that?
We do. I've just collected the caller's name, and it looks like we'll have Dixie Daves up next. Dixie, when you are ready, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, Robin. Thank you for taking my call. I was curious. On Abaco Island, there was a dog named Miracle. He made our national news here in Houston, Texas. And
yes.
I heard that he'd been adopted, and I just wondered how he was doing.
Amber, do you have an update on Miracle? Because I know it was you and one of our colleagues that did the medical triage in Miracle.
Yeah, so Miracle has been adopted. He has a wonderful family. He looks like a completely different dog. He's probably 70 pounds now. He was maybe 15 when we got him.
Wow.
He has little boys and little girls to love on him and a wonderful family and a pool. I've seen pictures. So he's the ultimate success story. So he's just doing wonderful.
That's fantastic.
That's wonderful. Dixie, what we'll do is we'll make sure Amber prints off some of those photos. We can drop them in the mail to you about Miracle, because that could be
wonderful. That would be wonderful. Ilsa has my address.
Yes, we will make sure you get those photos of Miracle. 70 pounds, Amber? My goodness gracious, that boy's been eating.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Oh, I love it. Oh, Dixie, Miracle touched my heart, and so did Hope. Those were two incredible stories from Abaco. And, you know, let's just all keep everyone impacted by Hurricane Dorian, and our thoughts and prayers that they're not impacted in this storm season coming up, because that could be just incredibly devastating. They're just trying to rebuild, as you know, and it's so hard.
Well, thank you for everything. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Dixie, so much. Thank you. And I think our operator, I think we have Jean Shafroff up next, who's our incredible national spokesperson for Feed the Hungry.
That's right, Robin. Jean, you are up next. Please make sure your phone is unmuted, and whenever you are ready, please go ahead.
Hi, Robin, and I just wanted to thank you and American Humane for all that you're doing. I am relatively new to this organization. I've known about American Humane, but not been incredibly involved the way so many of you are until the last few months. And I've had the opportunity to see the work firsthand and to communicate with Robin and everybody working inside the organization. And what a fine group of people. And what impresses me so much is how you keep your overhead so very low. And I'm on a number of other charity boards, and the 91% going out to actual programs is an extraordinary number. And then your rating on is a Charity Navigator. The wonderful 4-star rating is just extraordinary. But mostly it's the work you do and how you do it and how you touch so many lives, not only of the animals but of the servicemen. And right now we are in such a terrible situation with this pandemic, and this Feeding America program that you've put together is just extraordinary. And the goal is 1 million meals, $1 million, and we're right up to $550,000. So if anyone listening is able to give, even the small check count, and the website, AmericanHumane.org. And Robin, thank you for spearheading this. I'm honored to be involved as a national spokesperson, and we will make this possible so that animals across the United States or pets at all the different shelters don't go hungry. So thank you very much for everything you're doing, Robin, for everyone on staff, and then all the supporters, because you make their work possible. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Jean, so much. And what an incredible, beautifully worded statement as we wrap up today's call, Jean. Thank you so much for your support and for your leadership of our Feed the Hungry campaign. And I know we're going to be able to make 1 million meals happen. So we know the need's out there. The need's only growing as we just, you know that communities are really seeing the virus resurgence happening. We see more and more unemployment numbers, and I'm worried about animals going hungry in these most challenging of times. Jean, thank you so much for your leadership. Well, friends, we are wrapping up our 12th Fireside Chat. I can't believe it, 12. And we're looking forward to the next one. We will devote it to our incredible hero dogs. And, you know, as we wrap up today's program, I want to give a special, again, thanks to Chris for serving our country and service dog Andy. Thank you for just telling and sharing with us your story. Chris, I'm so moved by your words of you don't know whether or not how you would have made it without Andy being in your life in this pandemic. And I'm so grateful for your courage in sharing your personal journey with all of us. Amber, I want to thank you again for being one of our humane heroes, one of our incredible rescuers, first responders for animals in times of crisis. Thank you for going out there and doing the most courageous of work on the front lines in times of disaster and such crisis in communities. And thanks to all of our governing board members, our national ambassadors, our staff at American Humane. Really, these have been most challenging and trying of times, and it's because of our supporters that we're able to continue our work. So a huge thank you to everyone who supports and adores our cause. Thank you so much. As we close today's Fireside Chat, again, we look forward to our next chat in August. Please visit AmericanHumane.org for ongoing updates and reports through all of our social media channels as well. And be sure to vote at HeroDogAwards.org. Thank you so much. Please stay well, be healthy, and God bless America and God bless American Humane. Thank you.